Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being in this room. Just raise our voice and worship you. Hallelujah. For the rest of the time, we're going to study your message. So I pray the Holy Spirit will be with me to share from the scripture, from what you're teaching. I also pray the Holy Spirit in the heart of people in this room can hear your voice and apply the message to their life. We love you, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We are on the second week of Advent. And if you have the, you can turn on the PowerPoint for me. A root out of a dry ground. I prepare the PowerPoint with two languages. So if in case you want to study Vietnamese, you can read the Vietnamese. But if you study the English, you can read the English and compare the word. The second week, or the second Sunday, they call the second Advent week. It's talking about grace and peace. First Advent talk about hope, but second Advent is about grace and peace. So today we study in the book Isaiah chapter 53 verse 1 to 6, a root out of the dry ground. It's reminding us, even though in the situation it's very, very tough, very difficult, but somehow the grace of God is still spread on over the world. It's kind of amazing. It's kind of amazing when we study about Christmas, you would find out Jesus Christ, he survived the effort of the King Herod trying to kill him. It's kind of amazing when you study about the impact of his life, his death, and the resurrection. So when the prophet Isaiah spoke about this word, for he who shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. And when you heard the word dry ground, in which Isaiah spoke consistently of the humble circumstances of Jesus Christ, of his birth, his growth, his development, his nationality, and the politics of his day. Remember, when he was born, everybody tried to sex him and tried to kill him. And when he grew up, a lot of conflicts in the region. And again, people try to betray him or try to reject him. But somehow, in the midst of that difficulty, and the Bible talking about the root sprang up and continued to spring up and thrive in the hardest region of the world at that time. So when we reflect on his word in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, you would find out Christ, the heart soil with Jesus Christ talking about, and how he take root and thrive in the difficult situation. So three things we would learn about the dry ground or the difficult situation. We talk about the heart of the people. It's the most difficult thing. And we're talking about the culture which at that moment in time Jesus Christ had to face. And the same thing we have to face in the changing of the culture. And thirdly, about the place where we are in the history when all the thing, on the change going on. And we had to face. And that's the dry ground. And that's the difficult place we had to face. We go point by point. The human heart, the heart. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form and comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Even at that point in time, the time of the Isaiah and also the time of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ recognized, or even Isaiah also recognized, the heart of the people or the human heart is not a fertile soil, but it's very, very difficult. To change the people is extremely difficult. As a human, as a person, when you try to change somebody, it's very difficult. We can say it's very much like no way. For example, husband and wife, when you just get married, or before the time of marriage, the husband always thinking about, I will change my wife. So she will be eventually look like me, under my control, very much so. And the same thing, the wife probably thinking, the husband, I will change my husband, and eventually he will be under my control. Reality, as a person, human being, we cannot change anybody. Because the selfishness of the person, or the sinfulness of the person, the egoist person we are, ourselves is very, very huge. Nobody can change us. And Jesus Christ recognized that. Okay? Recognize as a person, no way we can change anybody. But however, in the midst of that, I call it the stone heart, in the midst of the rough heart like that, the gospel or the gospel of Jesus Christ can penetrate and break down the stone heart, the cover up that, and to change the person. And when you study the book of Acts, you study about Paul. Paul is a person, we can say, like he's the one, the great persecutor of the church at that time, the first church. He's the one who go around and try to rile up the Christian and kill them. Steve, one of the first deacons of the first church, was killed by Paul, or Saul of Tarsus at that time. But however, the gospel of Jesus Christ, when he face to face with Christ, and something changed. So from the heart stone, he have the, like the heart flesh, so Christ can change him. And he become the greatest missionary in the world. And even today, nobody can compare with him. So the heart of the person is very difficult to change. You have to remember that. And if you not rely on Jesus Christ or the Lord to change that person, if you not rely on him, no way you can change that person. You have to pray a lot, okay, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Christ, the Lord, had to touch the heart of the people in order to transform the person from the heart of the stone, the selfish person, to the compassion person. So, the people you face with, who are they? Okay, it can be your family. It can be your friends, your neighbor, your worker. Okay, the community you get involved with out there, or even the world. You will deal with the heart of the people. So when you deal with the heart of people, for the people in the family, friends, you have to approach them with the heart of Christ. That's the only way we can do it in order to transform the people. Just remember that. Secondly, you will deal with the culture. I already read the first verse, so I continue to read the next one. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And as we hid, as it were, our face from him, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our grief, carried our sorrow, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. So you find out even by the time of Jesus Christ, he was rejected by the people, the culture at that time. The Jewish culture at that time, they only believe in Old Testament, the law. And here Jesus Christ show up and talking about the love of God. Something is not in line with the people at that time. So they used the law of Moses to against Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. So sometimes you would find out in the culture we live, the culture, like you say, most of you grow up in America, the culture you live, probably a lot of internet, a lot of TV, a lot of soap, if you still watch soap. So a lot of things going on around the world are in the culture we have today. And lately, you would find out a lot of fake news or real news. We know why we can figure out. And a lot of conflicts and try to stir up the mind of the people to create conflict and a division. And that happened. And if you go to school, the secular school university, you would find out most of the professor or even the school against the presence of God or the existence of God. And you will deal with. If you study biology in the secular school, they not believe in God, our creator. So if you do the research paper, you're against the will of the secular professor or the unbeliever professor, he will give you an F. So suddenly, as a Christian, we deal with, okay, I need to have good grade to go to whatever school. And here, if you're against the will of the professor, you may get an F. So how do we deal with that kind of conflicts? It happened around us, even in the high school or even in the university. And that's the problem. So you would find out, even in that situation, the most difficult place, you would find out the gospel, okay, is still, like the Bible talks, so we can talk about the gospel, the living Christ, is still takes root and still thrive. Okay, if you study Paul, you would find out he's a great missionary. It's a 3 missionary trip. Paul, you know, exercise at that time. And he deal with a lot of different culture at that time. And a couple of weeks ago, we studied when Paul in Athens. Okay? And he deal with the philosopher, great philosopher at that time. And he had a conflict between the Epicurean and the Stoics philosopher. And here, he had to face with the conflict culture and people against him. And he had to use the gospel of Jesus Christ to introduce to the Stoic people and the Epicurean people. And somehow the gospel still hit the heart of the people. And if you study the book of Acts, you find out a group of people turn around and believe in Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to communicate to you, you live and you work in the culture, and that culture may conflict and against your belief. But you have to be like Paul. You have to stand firm on your faith in order to deal with that conflict. And people will respect that. But if you're wavering, you're not quite sure, you keep, you know, one day like this, another day, and people will get confused and they distrust your faith in Jesus Christ. Paul, he stands firm in his faith in Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when he deal with the philosopher, he deal with the culture conflicts, okay? The culture probably not be even believe in the scripture. He be able to stand firm and be able to explain the scripture, explain the gospel, and bring the people to Christ. And you also deal with the Vietnamese people. Of course, your parents from Vietnam. So your relative also from Vietnam. You deal with the Vietnamese culture and the Vietnamese characteristic of the Vietnamese culture. Most of you in this room, you will be dealing with. The culture, they ancestor worship. They respect the community and the family values. Okay, they're very handy kind of thing, do a little thing. Okay? But they also devotion for study. So when you see your relative, Vietnamese relative, that try, they not even believe in Christ yet. But we have to move from ancestor worship to respect our ancestor in order to not create the conflicts within the culture, in the family itself. You respect them, respect our ancestor, respect the community, the big family, okay, in order to bring the gospel to your family, the Vietnamese family, in the context of the culture. I can share this because you know my family background is 14th generation Buddhism. 14th generation. Okay? I'm the first son, the first grandson, and the first son in the family. So I'm supposed to be the head of the family for 14th generation of Buddhism. And here, the first grandson, the first son of the family, believe in Jesus Christ. Just amazing how the conflict in the family would happen. Okay? Not only the conflict in the family stay in America, but also the conflict of family in Vietnam. So what do I supposed to do? So again, from the worship ancestor, I move to respect our ancestor. From, you know, instead of reject the big family, I embrace the big family, because that's a good thing. And of course, because the Vietnamese culture, devotion to study, so I make sure I'm studying real well. Okay? So, and of course, on the little thing we have to do in order to regain the respect. Because suddenly, you know, one day you're in this kind of culture, and suddenly you switch the culture, and suddenly you reject your family, and then you reject the ancestor, and you reject this, all of that stuff, it creates a conflict. So the gospel cannot penetrate to the family. So up to the point when I visit Vietnam, and my uncle, he's supposed to be the head of the family. So after he goes through, and I communicate to him, and eventually I led him to Christ. He's the head of family back in Vietnam. And eventually when we go through discipleship, and he go through each family in Vietnam, and he share the message, and he ask the people in the family, big family, to come to Christ. So you visit Hue. Hue is a very, very tough place to share the gospel, and it's still tough today. You will see, you know, like we have the house there, and it say contribute and build by ông bà mục sư Trần Đông Sơn. To show respect to family. Okay? So we have to go through a lot, work very, very hard in order to do that. For my mom, it takes 7.5 years to bring her to Christ. And the same thing, one by one, in the family. It takes from 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. My uncle takes 20 years. So he trusts enough in order to listen to the gospel. And that's what you have to face for the future in the Vietnamese culture and some other culture too. So you deal with the culture, sometimes they lock up the scripture. If you open the scripture, they lock it up. They don't listen to you. So you have to break that block through the blood of Jesus Christ. You pray a lot. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can penetrate the heart of the people and break down the culture which against our belief system. Thirdly, about the place. I'm going and read the last two verses. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. On we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You would find out the place we're dealing with. They need the gospel. So this verse 5 and 6 is the heart of the gospel message. So what exactly that message talking about? That message talking about Jesus Christ, the innocent person dying as a sacrifice for our sin. Remember, he died for us not because he made a mistake or he has sinned, but because our sin. So he died for us. Not only he died for us, for all the people who have sinned. So that in the book of Leviticus chapter 16 talk about the innocent, about the for sin, talk about the innocent animal sacrifice dying for the guilty sinner. So that's the root of the gospel. So when we understand that, you would recognize every blessing we have in the Christian life comes because of the cross. Because you could find out when they talk about, okay, he proves for our iniquity, okay, the chastisement for our peace were upon him. So we have peace because he paid that price for us. So whatever we have, because of him. So the blessing we receive basically come from him. And that's the basic, okay, that's the heart of the gospel message which we need to communicate. But again, where are we now from the place? We're in Houston. We're not talking about Vietnam or Ivory Coast or whatever. So we have to recognize the Lord put us in the place. It's Houston, Texas. So from Houston, Texas, we have to look out there, Texas, and around the world. So some people, we talk about the place the Lord may put you at your workplace. So be a gospel message at your workplace. Because the people will watch at you when you say you are a Christian. They will look at you very closely. Maybe the place is Hong Kong 4. Okay, we went to Hong Kong 4 last week. Quite a few people come to Christ. And yesterday, we went to West Houston Rehab Center. About 5 or 6 people came to Christ. Maybe that's the place. Okay, not only at home, but also at work, school, or wherever. Oh, maybe this place. Do you know this place? Okay, right now it's still dry land. But you know, walking distance, when you walk across the fire department, there's 5 acres of land. And probably a few hundred homes we build over there. Okay, and suddenly it's no longer just 5 acres of empty land. I see probably 1,000 people will be in there. Okay. So maybe the Lord put that subdivision next to our church with a purpose. So we have to be ready. So we may have the evangelist, Billy, evangelist, Michelle, Gerald, Helen, Emily, Stephen, Nick, Nicholas, all of that. Maybe we'll be the evangelist for that piece of land over there. We'll be over 1,000 people, we'll be over there. They're just walking over here. So this place right now, I can see become the training ground, preparation for, we think about 12 months. It will happen. And sometime, God put us from training perspective to see the world. The gospel had to be grown on over the world. So 3 things I hope you would remember from the book of Isaiah chapter 53 verse 1 to 6. Remember the heart of the people. The gospel, the true gospel can penetrate their heart. Not you. You don't have that ability, authority, and power to do so. Remember their culture, where they come from. So we can adapt the gospel to fit the culture. We're not like they kind of squatted out the gospel. But at least we have to share the gospel in a culture context in order to get the people come to Christ. And remember the place. I don't know. God put you in what place, but you have to recognize where you are, at work, school, or wherever. That may be the place the Lord put you in there to impact. Let all stand up so we read together. It's very tough to personalize this one, so I would not ask you to do so. Okay, but just to remember, okay, how Jesus Christ impact. And read in English, okay? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Okay, that's the image of Christ in the dry land or the tough situation. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here to learn your word. And we thank you very much because your word reminds us where we are in history and where we are and where you would put us in order to share the message. So you would spring up in the heart of the people, in the culture you put us, and in the place you would desire us to do so. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with your people in this room from now and forever. Amen.